Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, if you're stationed in Fort Hood, watch out for the graveyards.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is Real Ghost Stories. And if you got one, we'd like to hear it. If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802. Or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, that's an option for you. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to every episode ever, all time, thousands of them. Then you can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. How's everything?
Well, you know, I was out for a walk today with Madden this morning. And as always, I listen to NPR when I'm out for a walk, you know, morning edition or whatever. And today's Saturday, so it was weekend edition with Scott Simon, who I love.
Because he's a Cubs fan.
He's the best, right? And while we were walking, they did a segment on Fort, is it Mifflin?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
And I think the woman that they talked to was the woman you interviewed.
She was fantastic, and now I can't think
she
of...
Was so
she was
so good.
Executive
and
director.
They were talking about the trouble Fort Mifflin is having with climate change and water coming up and coming in. And, you know, it was... And then they were discussing that a lot of historic sites are having these problems because, you know, a lot of forts or, you know, military complex areas were built on waterways.
Yes.
And now it's a problem.
And Fort Mifflin is basically like an island within the waterway.
Right.
So
yeah.
They've been raising money and people can donate money.
And she was terrific. But I thought you interviewed her first.
I did. And people can listen to it. It's a two-part episode. It's in the Grave Talks. Just search Fort Mifflin and you should be able to find that easily. But she was a terrific interview, and just the paranormal stories that she shared were incredible.
Really good. Really
good. She had
good.
A lot of her own and a lot of...
And then we have French ghosts in that one.
It's just really interesting. You know, one time our other sister, Cindy, used to be the executive director of the Texas Book Festival. And so we'd go every year because it was super fun. And I went to some breakfast, and I'm standing in line waiting to go through the buffet line. And I hear this guy talking behind me and I'm like, oh my God, Scott Simon. Because
that's pretty recognizable.
And I totally fangirled. I was like, oh my God, are you Scott Simon? It's so stupid. Like, what do you say? Like, I really love you on the radio.
Yeah, I love you. Yeah,
I didn't know. I'm like, you're really good. I don't remember what idiotic thing I said, but I was just like, oh my God, Scott Simon. I hear him. Where is he?
He's the best.
Yeah. And he was a really, really nice guy. You know, as nice as you'd think he would be.
Well, Cubs fan. We are.
And he's from Chicago and he loves the Cubs and we love the Cubs. So, you know.
There we go.
We're all on the same team there.
Yeah.
If you love the Cubs, I love you. Well, this is interesting because now we have another fort story.
I know. That's why I thought it brought it. It made me think of that.
So this is a story from Fort Hood. And it says, this story takes place in the fall of 2002 when I was stationed in Fort Hood, Texas, assigned to the 1st Cavalry Division. My platoon and I had just spent a week performing some infantry field exercises. We washed and cleaned our vehicles and parked them in the motor pool. We had just passed our vehicle inspections and we were cleaning our weapons in preparation to turn them into the armory when a rumor flew that the entire battalion was going out on a 2-week field exercise the following Friday. Our platoon leader asked if our platoon had to go on this 2-week exercise, to which the battalion commander emphasized that everyone was going out as a battalion, which meant us too. The day came for us to depart to the field for a 2-week-long battalion exercise, and as you can imagine, all of us were bitter and upset. Our platoon leader made the command decision that we would not train and instead would move with the battalion. However, we just found locations to hide and stay, out of sight, out of mind. It turned out to be more of a camping trip than a training exercise. We left the field multiple times to return to the base and resupply food, snacks, and drinks. Some days we would coordinate with some of the wives to meet us by the road, and they would deliver food and drinks for us. All we did was eat, sleep, and play cards. But one thing was sure. We maintained radio checks to prevent the battalion from questioning our whereabouts. One cold and windy day, the sun was setting and darkness would soon be upon us. We drove around in our Humvees looking for a new area to set up our Alpha Alpha, and then in parentheses, assembly area. Says it had gotten dark and we spotted a large open field the size of a football field surrounded by dense woods. We drove to the furthest part away from the road and parked our vehicles in the woods. Eventually, the hours passed and soon it would be bedtime. We set up a radio watch roster every night and two of us would rotate out every hour with two other soldiers to monitor the radios for radio checks from the battalion. Specialist Jerez and I got the 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. shift. When the time came for our shift, we sat on the top of the hood of a Humvee and told stories from back home. Specialist Jerez was from Brooklyn, New York, and spoke of all the food his Dominican mom would cook and how much he missed his hometown. As the windy night howled on, I spotted the figure of a person walking across the other end of the field. I pointed it out to Jerez, and he saw it as well. We both questioned who would be walking out there alone at this hour. It could have been the battalion commander looking to catch us asleep on radio watch. The figure looked tall and skinny, just like the BC, so we decided to sneak up on him. So we quickly crept alongside the woodline toward him to intercept him as he entered the woodline himself. Jerez and I kept an eye on him as we moved closer. He entered the woods, and we were mere feet away from him, so we ran to rush him, and he disappeared. Jerez and I were confused. We both saw him walk into the woods, and there was no way he could have evaded us. As we walked through the woods, we searched all around us, and we even made it out to the other side of the woods and saw it led to another large open field like the one we were just in. In disbelief, we returned to our post and contemplated who or what it could have been. We let it be and we went to sleep when it was time for our replacements to take over the radio watch. The following morning, we woke up, loaded up our Humvees, and filed out of the area as we turned right on the road. Though as we drove past, I couldn't help but stare at the location where we saw that person and still wonder where he could have gone. As we cleared the wood line and saw the empty field, I saw something that caused Jerez and I to look at each other in disbelief. On the other side of the woods was an old abandoned graveyard. We had not seen it before because it was dark when we drove past it the previous night. It turns out there are many abandoned graveyards throughout the vast training grounds of Fort Hood, and it's not uncommon to come across them. To those stationed in Fort Hood, watch out for those graveyards. Next time you're in the field, perhaps you'll have an encounter of your own, Vincent. Who knows what they saw? Because it sure wasn't the battalion commander.
No, definitely not. And what a strange thing to like say, okay, well, we're going to play a joke on him, right? We're going to go run up there and, you know, go boo, you know, scare him real good or whatever, because he's trying to get us. So we're going to get him, you know, right, kind of thing. And then get there and like, to be, and he talked like they got like within feet of him and then he was just gone.
Yeah, they were right there.
Yeah.
So obviously it wasn't the battalion commander, but that would have scared the shit out of him.
I'm thinking
if it would have been
tall man spirit.
Yep.
Thin man spirit.
Obviously.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know because there's no other explanation for that one.
Yeah. It would have to just send a chill down you the next day to see the cemetery.
Because he didn't even know it was there.
And it, like at night, you're just like, hey, let's go get him, you know, and everything. Had you known there was a cemetery, would you have said, hey, let's go get him, you know, at the cemetery? You probably would have been like, there's a cemetery there. We're seeing a figure. You know, you might have not even done that, right? Had you known it. So I think that's pretty fascinating. That had to have just put a chill down his spine when he saw that cemetery.
And who knows if the spirit had anything to even do with the cemetery. You know, maybe it was just the spirit out walking because that's where he plowed the land or something. I don't know.
But you know, a lot of times those little cemeteries were like family cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be people that would be very connected to that place and that land and, you know.
Yeah, because they didn't have the big cemeteries in a lot of those rural areas.
Yeah. You know, here in Kansas, you're just driving along and there's this little cemetery that maybe has 10 stones in it. Out just kind of in a pasture out in the middle of nowhere. And you know it was just a family had that land and they buried their family members there. And then after a while, maybe the land was sold or, you know, different things happened and whatever. And then that's just where that cemetery, you know, it just stopped there, you know. And my guess is that's what he's talking about are these little, at one time were family farms, family little ranches out there. And then, you know, it was bought up by, you know, the military, by the government. And so those little cemeteries are still there.
And I got to tell Vincent, like, there are so many people listening to this right now who have always wanted to see exactly what he saw. Like, there are people who would love to be like, oh my God, I just saw an apparition. And Vincent's just like thinking he's going to play a practical joke and then he gets it.
Yeah.
It's the apparition instead.
So, and we have the two of them that both saw it. So it wasn't just one, right? We've got backup on this.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to a call.
It's Maria. I'm calling in a story about my son's experience. He was 5 at the time. My husband and I had experiences in this house before, and it's our old farmhouse. So my son, it was really late at night. My husband was playing video games on the computer. I had passed out on the couch because of the stomping that I heard one night going up all of my stairs. And it wasn't my husband, and he didn't hear it. I was the only one that heard it. But yeah, so I passed out on the couch waiting for my son, for my husband to go to bed. We're ready for bed. So as routine, you know, he wakes me up. Like, we hold hands. We go up the stairs. And this was, like, in the early days of discovering the lady. She was dressed in, like, period clothing. She stood in the doorway, but she didn't stand there. She more floated. I don't know if she was hanged or, like, what, but she had really long, dark hair. She had dark eyes, and she just was sad. Like, she was sadness. And it was really hard to face her before going upstairs to go to bed every night. So my husband and I would face her together every single night. And, you know, we would go upstairs and, you know, just say goodnight to her just to be nice. And eventually, like, she grew on me. I eventually was like, goodnight, lady. Like, I hope that, like, you're not sad anymore one day or whatever. And as we get to the top of the stairs, is my son's room, is the first room on the left. And we get to the top of the stairs, and I just, as I'm walking by, I like to peek in at my children, and I peek in, and my son, instead of being in his bunk bed, he was on the floor underneath. We had removed the bottom bunk to make it a loft bed. So he was under his bed on his car mat with his Hot Wheels, and there was a second placement of Hot Wheels race cars as if he was playing with somebody. And I was like half asleep, but totally shocked. And I said, Liam, what are you doing up? You know, it's really late and you have school in the morning. And he looks at me and says, I'm playing with my nighttime friend, Mommy. And I told him, I said, well, it's time for your nighttime friend to go home because you have school in the morning. I don't want you being, you need to sleep. I don't want you being too tired for school in the morning. So he got, you know, I got him ready. I got him up and tucked him in and kissed him and sat with him until he fell asleep. My kids had very, very hard time falling asleep. My 3-year-old daughter had night terrors. My son gave me a very difficult time about going to bed, but he's more quiet about it. In that house, he had told my mother that the devil watches him sleep at night. And this was about a year and a half after the incident with his nighttime friend. I have other stories, but it looks like I might be coming up on my time. So another story for another day. Thank you so much. I love the show. I listen to it every day. My job is very boring. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed my story. I have so much more to come.
So I wonder if they still live in that house, because that house is haunted AF.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And well, to have your and kids they're sit.
Okay, so there's a woman that they see basically every night, or a lot at
or
any
at
rate.
Or at least she senses her
enough
there.
Enough that she's afraid to go upstairs by herself, and I hate living like that.
I know, but it's interesting because she's like, okay, well, good night, lady. Hope you're not so sad, you know.
And she says she seems to now kind of have gotten to a point where she's like, you know, more okay with it. And I'm like, gosh, I know what it feels like to live like that, where you're scared to go upstairs by yourself, where you're scared to go into this area by yourself. And it's kind of an awful way to live. I'm hoping that either A, they've moved, or B, she has come to some sort of,
I'm hoping,
you know,
they moved. Because that shit about the kids saying the devil watches me when I sleep, that's like, you can't stay there.
No.
And then that whole oppressiveness, because not only do you have some really dark energy in your house, there's this overwhelming sadness, and your kids playing with someone that's not there, and the devil's watching them when they sleep, and you're feeling this woman and seeing her. That's just no, you're raising kids.
Yeah, and the kids are having night terrors.
Yeah.
And afraid. And, you know, it's just an awful way to live with all of that tension around you all the time, you know, and that fear.
They got to move.
Yeah.
And when you leave.
I hope she writes us back and lets us know how it's going. Yeah. Like at what point their things are right now. And if they are still there, what has it changed? What's changed? Or how have they come to terms with it that it's better? You know, because you can't live with that kind of anxiety.
No, I just think they got to go. Got to go.
You're just on the...
It's like, you just got to go. And when you go, you got to be right there at the door and say, you stay here. We're leaving. Do not come with us. You're not welcome to come with us. You stay here.
Okay, because- so you're even going to go like the... you're not welcome.
Exactly. I think it's too dark.
Well, I hope she writes us back and lets us know the state of things right now.
Too dark for kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got kids you're trying to raise, and they deserve a happy environment, not the devil watching me sleep. It's one thing if you're dealing with it, you and your husband, but if your children feel like the devil is watching them when they sleep, it's time to go. Oh. Like, and sometimes it's not that easy, and you got to save up to move and all that stuff, but put the plan in place.
Could you imagine? I mean, I do know what it's like to be a child and be afraid.
Which is exactly why I'm like...
All the time.
Exactly. And that's why they've got to go. I hated it.
Mm-hmm. It was awful.
And you feel that tension. You feel the energy. You feel scared and unsure of everything. And every night when you go to bed, are you going to hear the guy walking around at night?
And you do.
You know, so I just hate that for those kids. And it sounds like her and her husband have figured out a routine, and she's like kind of made some peace with this entity that she's experiencing. But that person feels sad. It just, to me, feels like it could be a female spirit and a male spirit, like he was the abuser of her.
Well, or, you know, we always said growing up that we really did feel like there were two things in the house we grew up in. You know, one was very evil. And then it felt like there was something else in there that was not quite so evil, more playful, more, you know, more of the poltergeisty kind of feel where
it's still scary.
You know, things would happen, but still scary. You're right.
Yeah, I don't like it for your kids. So that's what I have to say about that. Move.
Get out.
Get out. Get your new
run
home
away.
Blessed.
Run away.
Sage it. Do whatever you got to do before you move in. It's like, we are moving without you. You're not welcome. I just don't like that one at all. It just gives me the jeebs.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. So call it in if you want to. It's 855-853-4802, or write it in if you'd rather do that, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber if you wanted to. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.